We're going to come right down here. Take your Bibles and turn to Genesis. Genesis, now that makes it tough on me. Now I got to remember everybody's names. And so I just remember the bad ones. No, I'm just joking. Hard to believe I was introduced to New Hope Baptist Church, Tilsonburg, 2012. And I remember I was there with an ensemble. And just kind of neat how the Lord's just connected some dots. I think 2014 was the first year I came to family camp, and I can't believe they have me back. I don't know if they're just, you know, you folks are getting detention. You have to listen to Brother Ramos again and again, but I am so glad to be back here. Hard to believe it was 5 years ago that we were here last, and so I guess I'm on the five-year plan. Let's not keep COVID in the mix, though. Let's just have better reasons for that, but praise the Lord. I'm glad my wife could be here. She's here also, and my two daughters are here. And I'm glad to be with the group as well. This is kind of stop one for the entire month. We're out in July. So we've got 3 weeks in a row of VBS after this week. So pray for us as we hit the road traveling. But just a brief word of testimony. Who's never met Brother Ramos before, just so I kind of have an idea? Slip up your hand, all right? You that haven't, you've been blessed. So let me give you a quick word of testimony. About 50 years ago, somebody invited my sister to ride a Sunday school bus to Fairhaven Baptist Church. And long story short, my mom said something to the effect, she can't go to church unless I go with her. And that bus captain, bus worker said, you can ride the bus too. And so my mom rode a Sunday school bus to church from South Haven, Indiana, and just, I think it was 2 or 3 weeks later, she trusted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And 50 years later, she's still going. Now, my dad, on the flip side, was a steel mill worker in Gary, Indiana. He worked at U.S. Steel for 40 years. And he allowed us to go to church, but he says, I want nothing to do with church. You do your thing. You and the kids put us in the Christian school, which I'm very thankful for. I got heavily discipled in the Christian school. And then my freshman year, late senior year of high school, freshman year of college, long story short, my dad trusted Jesus Christ as his personal Savior, and he's been retired from the mill now. Pretty much now you'll see him on Fridays or Thursdays during the warm months. He's cutting all the grass. We've got about 30 acres of property. Him and another retired guy in our church, they drive the tractor around and cut the grass. On Wednesdays, he drives for our senior program, drives a bus, and on Sunday morning, wouldn't you know it, at almost 78 years old, he drives a Sunday school bus to pick up kids for Sunday school. So I've been blessed to be at Fairhaven Baptist Church now, hard to believe, 47 years. And I don't think anybody else likes me, so they just say, well, we'll just put up with you. And so I'm blessed. I serve in the bus ministry, work in the college, work in the academy, travel here and there, and whatever our pastor needs done, I just say, sign me up. I appreciate the message that we heard last night. I try to practice it. Don't do such a good job with it, but I try. And I've been a hole filler for about 25 years, so why change now, you know? So just been a blessing, and so I'm just glad we're going to reconnect some dots this week, get some names, get to know you a little bit, and hopefully I'll just encourage you to pray for the Ramos family, because we need a whole heap of it. I'm glad we got some guys down front. You're about to get spit on in just a little bit. I'm not going to do hellfire and brimstone, because I know you're not supposed to do that at camp meetings anymore. I've learned that, but that's all right, right? Genesis chapter number 5, if you have your Bibles this morning, I trust you do. Thank you for allowing us to come, and I want to be a blessing to you this morning. There's times we'll have all the teens and parents together. I guess this is one of those times. I have a few messages I'd like to preach. I'd like to preach this week, the Lord directing my steps on some things I think would connect with parents and teenagers. So I want to be timely with those as well. So let me ask you this. This is the morning service, kind of keep you awake. I know Sunday school for me is always the toughest service to stay kind of alert. So we'll just call this the Sunday school hour. If you were in charge of camp, what would you say would be a good message to preach to a crowd like this, or a good theme? Help me out. Pastor McQuick. I just woke him up. Huh. Just as a pastor, as maybe leading a conference, you got all these people here, and you say, this is an area over the years that I think is super necessary for a group of what I would consider good Christians at camp. Encouragement. Okay, so he's going to say encouragement. Pastor McSwiggin.
Staying with the stuff.
staying with the stuff. That's good. That's good. I think you raised your hand last night and said you've been at all the camp meetings. Is that correct? So you know the drill. What would you say all these people need? Prayer. Prayer. Brother Neville. That's the easy way out. I got you. Brother Johnston. Being real. Being real. Pastor Carlson, I just met you last night. Push yourself for God. See, we preachers have a tough job because as we pray, there's all these topics that he would say they need and he might say they need, and then the wives would chip in, and I didn't ask that because we'd have some heavy revival going on here. But they probably have in their mind other things, and so as we come in together, I don't know your heart's needs. Frankly, it's not my business. But God does. And as we pray, and I'm thankful that I heard last night's message because two of those tests are pretty real in my life right now. And I had to get here and say, Lord, thank you that I'm here and that I get preached at too. But then there's the weight of responsibility that I trust that as the Spirit leads me, the Spirit leads you. And when that's happening, God's going to do a wonderful thing. So I want to talk about something, and I'm going to do maybe a little something odd. I'm going to have kind of a hand-raise invitation before the message. And I think you'll see where I'm going with this. So could I ask you to have your heads bowed and your eyes closed? So here's the question. How many would say, Brother Amos, one of the biggest struggles I have in my life right now, whether you've been saved for a week or whether you've been saved for 35 years, as I have, is I struggle in my walk with God. Or that little term we use, devotions. How many of you say, Brother Amos, that's a bit of a challenge for me? Just slip up your hand. I'm not going to call you out. Thank you for being honest. I haven't been ministry that long, just a quarter of a century. And as I deal with young people specifically and people that struggle in life, one of the things that they say, Brother Amos, I'm struggling with my walk with God. I'd like to help you with that this morning if I could. Young people that are good kids, this will take you to the next level. You will not be a goodly teenager. You can be a godly teenager. One letter difference. New Christians, old Christians, this will take you to that next level if you learn to have, if I learn to have a walk with God. Lord, would you help me this morning? I don't have the answers to any of these folks' problems, but you do. And I think this is so important, and I trust that you would use this as we continue on the second message of camp. Thank you for speaking to my heart last night, and I pray that you use this today in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I want to be really careful with this topic because I've heard preachers get up and they say things to this effect. If you're a Christian, you will love church. If you're a Christian, you will get up in the morning and you'll just want to be in the Word of God. You'll just be hungering and thirsting after righteousness. You'll just have this desire all the time to win souls for Jesus Christ. And if you don't have that, you might want to check your Christianity. And sometimes I sit there and thinking, can I just be honest with you? I don't always have this like, oh, I just can't wait to get to church. Those mornings at 7:15 when I'm supposed to jump on the bus and it's minus, you know, whatever temperatures, I don't walk out the door like, oh, I get to go on the bus and serve Jesus. I don't always have that. And sometimes, I'll be honest, when I'm working through my Bible on Ezekiel and Hosea and Haggai, it's just not always just like, oh, I'm just floating around with the angels, and I've got these nuggets that are just from the Bible jumping out at me, and I walk around church like, hey, let me tell you what I got from the Word. Now, maybe you're different than me, and you're like, you don't? And so sometimes I sit back and think, when preachers will say things like that, man, am I saved? Am I backslidden? And in some cases, maybe I am backslidden. But the truth of the matter is, when it comes to the Christian life, it is imperative that we must have a walk with God. And I talk to guys that come to Bible college, and they'll come to me and say, Brother Ramus, I'm struggling with what we've come to call that word devotions. And they'll say, man, I can't even read my Bible for 15 minutes a day, and it's easier for me to just say, you know what, you just need Jesus. It's easy to preach it, but the truth is, you're not going to go anywhere for God unless you walk with God. So when I say the names in the Scriptures, Samson, something probably comes to your mind. Joseph, Daniel, Moses, Jephthah, Gideon, Peter, Noah. Look at Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. Look at the next phrase. And Noah, help me out this morning, those three words, walked with God. Now our text is actually going to be in Genesis chapter 5. Genesis chapter 5, we'll get there in just a little bit. But we see this phrase, Noah walked with God. Now we have these devices. It's called phones, right? How many would consider yourself an avid texter? I'm not preaching about texting, so don't get nervous. Like, where's he going with this? A lot of people are on their phones a lot. We'll just say it that way. Whether they're texting, researching, looking up something, buying things, whatever you do on your phone. But some people just text. I work with about 20 to 30 of our bus teenagers that we're discipling right now. And if I send something to a group, and I try not to do this, but I sent a sermon to a group of the young ladies, about 9 of them, and it just started ding, 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 ding. And I literally said, please stop, because they just communicate all the time, and most of it's nonsense, to be honest. But you know, I think we are in a world that communicates a lot, but here's the problem. We often are communicating with the wrong people. I wonder if we talk to God as much as we texted a friend. ConstantContact.com, as they say. Someone said it, you tell me who you walk with, and I'll tell you what you are. So what I want to do today, if I can, and it's interesting, you had 5 P's and 5 B's and all the outline I was trying to get last night. So I've got 7. I got you beat, but it's only one letter. It's the letter P, so we're going to stick with that today. But I want to talk about a perfect, the idea of complete walk with God. If you don't walk with God, the obvious tells us you're walking with somebody else. Does that make sense? So that's the obvious, that you've chosen an alternative. I'm not going to walk with God. I'm going to walk with somebody else. If you don't walk with God, here's what I'd call the dangerous or the tragic. At some point, you might look like you're doing okay, and I've seen this over the years. When you've been in the same church for 47 years, you look at people and say, they just seem like they've got it together. You see them on the bus route. You see them in church. They're singing in the choir. They're singing specials. And you look, and I remember this young person say, when I get big, I want to be like him, or I want to be like them, because they just got it together. And then all of a sudden, you start to see things dismantling and falling apart. And you say, what happened? I'll tell you what happened. If you don't walk with God, in time you will walk away from God. And I'm just begging you fellows down here, because what your churches need is a younger generation that comes in and says, you know what, my daddy walked with God, and my grandpa walked with God, and my aunt walked with God, and my preacher walked with God. It's time at Camp 2023, I'm going to start a walk with God, if you don't have one. Where's Caleb? I met Caleb last night. He's 10 years old. And he said he loves God. And I told him this morning, I said, stay in love with God. Because if you don't walk with God, in time, you will walk away from God. You know, it's interesting, the men that stood in front of the religious leaders, the Bible says this. They looked at them, they saw that they were unlearned and ignorant men, but it says this. They took knowledge that they had been with Jesus. Now, I've got a 20-year-old and a 17-year-old. I like to spend time with them. I like to fellowship with them. But I often find myself them wanting to be not always with Dad. They like to be with these guys. Last night, where's Marissa? I don't know if she made it back in there. She's over there. She's like, I don't know about camp. I don't know anybody. I'm nervous. I'm scared. Last night, I couldn't find her. It didn't take her long. It doesn't take them long to find somebody, watch me, that they want to be with. And that's a good thing. I'm okay with that. I wasn't in fear and trembling. But they said, these men have been with Jesus. How about Peter? When Peter was with Jesus, what did he say? I'll die for you. I'll stand for you. As soon as he got in the crowd, his whole vocabulary changed. Ryan, are you with me? It says that he began to curse and swear, and some people think, well, he just swore an oath. Like we would say, I put my hand on the Bible, or I swear to God. I'm not trying to be sacrilegious, but some people think that he did that in his swearing. Others believe that he actually cursed and swore. Maybe his old fisherman's vocabulary showed up. I'll tell you what, if he would have been with Jesus, he wouldn't have been talking that way. Are you with me? Is this making sense? I sure hope so. You will notice when a guy and girl start to be interested in one another. And I was laughing as I was going through my notes this morning. I was thinking of the first point that Pastor Carlson had last night. They're in close proximity. Now, Andrew's getting married in December. Andrew Schreiber to a young lady from actually Pastor Kroll's church. We were talking Pastor Kroll from Pastor Kroll's church. And it's amazing where Ellie is, there is Andrew. But initially, you know, the first couple of years of college, you never really saw them together. But when the interest started peaking, it's like, hi, hi. And they just kind of happen to be there, and you find them walking together. And normally, they're going the same direction. Now we got some young marrieds, and that's so exciting. To see the young marrieds. And you kind of expect them, after they get married, to kind of walk hand in hand together. And you kind of say, huh, something's wrong. They're not sitting together. They're not talking to one another. You kind of recognize there's a problem. When you're interested in somebody else, you're not forced to be with them. That's a thought. So this is what happens. Oh, Brother Amos is talking about devotions. So what we do is we block off this 10 to 15 segment of our day. And I'm like, all right, I'm going to be spiritual now. I'm going to walk with God, and I'm going to give him 10 minutes. Right? Isn't that what happens? So we compartmentalize our life, and we give God 10 to 15 minutes. Now think about it. Do you do that with your parents? Like, okay, Mom,
You start your day, you get up in the morning, you shower, hopefully. You brush your teeth, hopefully. Put deodorant, hopefully, especially at camp. Okay, Mom, I'm going to give her from 8:10 to 8:20. Dad gets 8:20 to 8:27. And then for the rest of the day, I'm done with them. It sounds kind of foolish, right? I mean, if my wife just got 12 minutes of my day, it'd be a bit of a problem. Are you with me? And so it's just a natural thing to want to fellowship with people that you're in a relationship with. Are you with me? And so what I'm saying is, I think this can help us if we'll just kind of tune in. A walk with God is not just devotions. And you say, I don't get anything out of my Bible reading. Okay, can I be honest? Every conversation I have with my wife is not like when I finish the conversation, like, ah, wow, that was so awesome. You talked to me. You said hi. You know, that's foolishness. After every meal that we have, she's like, you know, I made you some oatmeal. I'm just enamored by the oatmeal that you have put together. She probably have kicked me out of the house a long time ago. But there are, bring your wife along. It was an awesome thing. I didn't say, let me pray about it. No, I want. One day of next week, my other son's going to drive up. We're going to spend the day together. You know why? Because he's going to make it. Is he the next Jim Elliot? And I was wondering. But no. So let's get to it. Seven things with God. Didn't say he had his devotions. He walked with God. I'll be honest with you. I'm not a slow-paced guy. I can't run very fast, but I'd rather run than walk. But it indicates a pace. Drop it, and then they walk down, and some little guy runs and gathers all the armor up, and they walk down the first... Long time to get married! It's like... And walking with God shows a progression. A progress. It's kind of depressing. But when you're walking... Progression. Enoch walked... with God. It's move by two, right? What does that do for us? Stay with. Stay near. Because you know what? I want them protected. I don't want my boys going down there because I want them with somebody. There's an action factor there. But may I say this? When he's there, understand this. In your life, he is viewing what you view. He's listening to what you listen to. You're dragging him into the things that you do day in and day out. I wonder if he'd be happy with that. He endures or enjoys your entertainments. Think about it that way. In the last couple months, I've been to a couple funerals and I preached a couple funerals. Two of which were young people, 17 and 18 years old, both a young lady and a young man. One overdosed on drugs. And the other one drowned because he was drunk. And both of those funerals were an absolute horrific setting. I struggled trying to get that crowd together, just trying to get them the gospel. It was horrible. Horrible. And then I've been to funerals. Just had a 92-year-old lady. She was my third and fourth grade Sunday school teacher. And just was a saint. You know, she walked with God, and I could sit there, and I can enjoy that she was going home to heaven to be with the Lord. Two different worlds. But I think of us. Listen, you have the Holy Spirit with you. I don't know your world. I don't know your family problems. I don't know your financial needs. But you've got God with you. And if you'll just choose to walk with him, you will have a life of protection. It's a wonderful thing. So we see progression. We see protection. Look at 1 Kings chapter 17 real fast. 1 Kings chapter 17, verse number 1. Here's a man of God we call Elijah. I'm not going to go into his life, but I like what you'll see Elijah saying often. Verse number 1, and Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, so he's standing before the earthly king, and he says this, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, look at the next phrase, before whom I stand. He says, if you will, Pastor Carlson put it this way, I'm in close proximity to the Lord, the God Jehovah. Look at 2 Kings chapter 5, real fast. Now we see Elijah passing this on to Elisha, because Elisha says the exact same thing. But he said, as the Lord liveth, before whom I stand. So Elijah must taught Elisha, hey, you better have a walk with God. As you live, you might have earthly kings. You might have people all around you, but you better stand before God.
And then you come down to the third guy in the train. His name's Gehazi. Look at 2 Kings chapter 5, verse number 20. But Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, said, behold, my master hath spared Naaman the Syrian in not receiving at his hands that which he brought. But as the Lord liveth, and then there is silence. It doesn't say, before whom I stand. He had the patented phrase, young men, yeah, there's a God. But there's a difference between knowing there's a God and there's a difference between walking with God. As the Lord liveth, it sounded really good, but he didn't say, before whom I stand. Therefore, it was easy for him to lie and to steal and to covet and to take those things because he got away from the presence of God. I tell you what, safety consists not in the absence of danger, but in the presence of God. Number three, along the same lines, walking with God shows a partnership. Partnership. We call it fellowship. Amos says it this way, can two walk together except they be agreed? I like to come, hey, brother, how you doing? We shake hands. There's an element of a partnership, if you will, all right? When people get married, what do they say before they start those promises? Please join hands. You're kind of indicating it's time to partner up. I don't walk around camp holding hands with all the other ladies. I probably wouldn't be the preacher at camp. And I'd probably be dead because some of the men are like, what are you doing to my wife? And rightfully so. The point is, I join hands with my wife. We are very much in a partnership. Can I say this? When you walk with God, you can go with Him hand in hand. I still love. Even Marissa at 15 will be walking, and all of a sudden, that hand that used to be little, it's a little bit bigger than mine now. And she slips it, and it just gives me this peace of mind that my daughter is still good with her daddy. I love it. My boys, we don't do that. For obvious reasons. Partnership. Some have suggested, as you read commentaries, Matthew Henry said this, Enoch's relationship didn't begin this way till about the time he had Methuselah. Interesting. Another commentator said this, before his son's birth, Enoch was a wicked liver, but then repented. Because if you look at the text, Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah. So you might say, Brother Ramus, my life, my world's a mess. Can I say this? You can always start your walk with God. It doesn't say, well, I just blew it when I was 15 or I blew it when I was 7. Get over it. God is a God of mercy and compassion, and I'm so thankful He's a God full of forgiveness. You can begin that walk with Him today. So we see a partnership. Number four, walking with God shows a purpose. The people of Israel wandered, right, in the wilderness with no purpose. You wonder why they complained all the time. They had no purpose. Can you just imagine hockey? You guys are hockey fans, right? If there were no goals in hockey. Just think about it. Basketball. When you go down, you think of playing basketball, you kind of assume that there's going to be some rims. Whether there's nets in there or not, you know there's a goal. You with me? You imagine home run derby's coming up. What if there's no fences? It would kind of be pointless. Well, they hit it far. No, they're waiting for it to hit in the bleachers. There's a goal. Every sport, even golf. What if there was no hole? I mean, all of us would be good. But you know, sometimes we walk through life with no purpose.
We just wander around like, why are you here this morning? I don't know. I'm just here. I wonder why people take their lives. You know why? They have no purpose. But can I say, when you walk with God, as we heard, kind of one of the first statements Pastor said last night, he has a purpose and he has a plan for your life. Amen. And I'm glad it's not my plan, because if I put my life together, whoo, I probably wouldn't be here. God has a better plan and God has a purpose. And when you walk with him, he'll take you where he wants you to go. Walking with God shows a purpose. All right, teenagers, I got a big one here. Walking with God shows piety. Has nothing to do with dessert. Piety. Andrew, what is piety? No clue. That's all right. Piety is the idea of reverence of the supreme being and love of his character. The idea of reverencing somebody. You ought to show piety to your mom and dad. And I heard an amen quietly escape from mom's mouth. There's a reverence there. And Enoch walked with God. There's a reverence and that idea of a nearness, a wanting to be close. James says it this way, draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Piety. When you're walking with God, or with God, when you're with God, all things are possible. But I'll say this. When you're with God, there should be no things questionable. I've learned that my kids act different when I'm around them. I used to work with the junior high teenagers. And when we'd have a group over to our house, we'd have the guys over, and I'd get them up in the morning, and it was pretty amazing. I'd get up in the morning before the day was gone. They all cracked open their Bibles. They had their pens. They had their papers. I'm like, wow, these guys are unbelievable. They are ultra-Christian. We have little Spurgeons in my home. This is amazing. And then I talked to the parents. I'm like, hey, how's Ralph doing? How's Poncho doing? How's Caleb doing? Like, in his devotions. He never has devotions. What happened was they were with somebody that they thought was important enough to look like they were spiritual. You ever been there? Honest, when I was a kid, I walked down the hall and our pastor would be coming down the hall. Oh no. I had this fear. Like, oh no, he's gonna call me out. I would duck into a classroom. Because he had to know I wasn't a spiritual kid. Now that sounds foolish, but I'll tell you what, when you walk with God, you're gonna have a reverence and you're not going to do questionable things. You know why? Because God is with you. There's a piety there. Real fast. Number six, walking with God shows a perseverance. It says, after he begat Methuselah, he walked with God, and he did it for how many years? 300 years. Now, I don't think any of us are going to have to deal with that. But what he's saying, he's just kept at it. He was faithful. Stick with God. And number seven, and lastly, walking with God shows that there is a pool. And what I mean by that is this. There's always someone or something vying for the attention to get away from God. Do we not live in a world of distractions? We do. If you didn't know, we do. Or you need to get out a little bit more. Let's take, what's your name, my man? Sebastian. You just got here, so I didn't get a chance to meet you. Sebastian. How old are you, Sebastian? How old are you? Nine. So let's take Sebastian to the fair. Let's lower him a little bit, because Sebastian seems like a pretty nice kid. We go to the fair. Dad says, hey, stay with me. Mom says, stay with me. There's lots of things out there that'll get your attention. So he goes in. His hand slips into Dad's. All is well. But then he sees cotton candy. Maybe for the first time in his life, he's like, wow. Cool.
It almost is like a lot of people's hairdos today. I mean, like sometimes, like, what's the flavor of the day with some of the kids that ride to church? I'm like, sorry, just a little digression there. And it's amazing how a little guy's attention can get distracted. His hand slides out of dad's, and he drifts over towards the cotton candy. And he's watching as they stick that little cone in there, and they stir it up, and they pull out that big wad. Whoa. Well, after a little bit, when he doesn't get it, he doesn't have money, and his satisfaction has been taken care of for that moment, he turns, and now he sees all these people, no dad, no mom, no siblings. This is what typically happens with a little kid. Ah! The security is gone. Can I just say, we live in a world of distractions. I don't think anybody's here like, well, yeah, I want to follow the world. We're distracted. I'm going to put my hand up first. I get distracted. And I'm a minister. But I've got this and that and this and that. I got this and I'm all... If I'm not walking with God, it's apparent. The obvious is I'm walking with somebody else. And if I'm walking with God, if I'm not walking with God in time, I will walk away from God. I just want to encourage you, let's get the word devotions out of our mind for just a moment. And let's stop and say, God, you get my 12 minutes. I might give you 30 extra seconds. And just say throughout the day, you can do this. Lord, I just need you today. Just walk around camp, be at home, in your car. Just talk to God. You might say, people are going to look at me weird. He won't. And you're just with them, and it gives you all those seven things, the idea of perfection, a perfect walk with God. That's why I gave you 7 points and no poem. But if you can start a walk with God, it'll take you a long way. And Enoch learned, I can do this. And the Bible says in Hebrews 11, don't turn there, that God just took them. I don't know if he just said, you've walked with me so long here, let's just keep on going home. He never died. How's your walk with God? I'm going to ask Mrs. Traver, if you just play a song of invitation. We're not going to have a come forward. I've already used up my time. But maybe that's you today. I'm just going to pray. Maybe give her a chance to play through one or two verses. But young people, can I beg and plead with you? You say, I'm 10, I'm 12. Start a walk with God. I didn't get this till I was 17, 18 years old. Can I say, as a preacher, Pastor Greg, sometimes I struggle. Brother Brian, sometimes I struggle. You say, you do? I do. I get too busy for Jesus. Shame on me. Maybe just say, Lord, I'd like to develop more. I'd like to start a walk with God. Would you just bow your heads, close your eyes? Just take a minute to talk to the Lord.